Many Americans with a few extra bucks to spare turned to grocery delivery apps like Instacart during the pandemic to avoid going to the store. With just a few swipes on your phone, the apps allow you to share your grocery list and schedule someone else to pick everything up and deliver it right to your doorstep at your convenience. These grocery apps are still growing, and it made us wonder about the future of this industry and the possible challenges to sustaining it. Joining us now is Natasha Mascarenhas, a senior reporter at TechCrunch. She's been looking into this. Natasha, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me, Jane. I'm excited to talk about groceries, my favorite topic.
Well, tell us what's happening. What's going on with the industry overall right now?
You know, it's so interesting. So the common phrase during the pandemic is that consumers went from seeing things that were nice to have, such as grocery delivery, to need to have. And so we've definitely, to your point, seen a lot of people start to fork over some money toward apps such as Instacart, more recently Uber getting into the grocery delivery games, as well as GoPuff. There's so many of these different companies that are, you know, now household names. They've been around for a while, though. So we're definitely seeing them get this new level of energy after a long time trying to prove that, you know, they were going to be a habit and not just a once in a while sort of thing.
So how expensive are these services, Natasha? What's the range?
I think we're going to see a lot of companies start to offer more sliding scales. At Instacart, the delivery fee can start at $3.99, but additional services can kind of really fastly add on, such as alcohol, such as certain items being more expensive, even if they're heavier. So I think that we're going to see a big range. But I think as we see a lot of new entrants enter the market, we might see a race to cheaper prices for consumers down the road. Eventually, it comes down to, are consumers just going to go to the cheapest app that will give them some kind of useful service? And so I do see there being a potential resettling of fees.
You mentioned the instant aspect of all this. How fast are we talking about grocery delivery?
Yeah, you know, I think the new number that's in the ether right now is 10 minutes. There can literally be something like 10 minutes. Getir in Turkey is one of the most popular food delivery companies out there. And they are starting to expand into Spain and Italy. Their whole shtick is that they want to beat out their competitors by offering quick stop sorts of deliveries to consumers. Now, I will give a small disclaimer with instant. You're going to have less options as a consumer right now. You're not going to be able to get everything plus more to your doorstep in 5 minutes or you know, 10 minutes, but you will be able to get a certain amount. And we're also going to see a lot more happening as dark stores start to expand across the world to make it easier for these companies to offer more goods that, you know, are a hop, skip, and a jump away.
So 10 minutes may work in Europe where it's easier to walk to a grocery store, you know, around the block. But, you know, I can't even drive to a grocery store in 10 minutes where I am.
Yeah, you know, it's fair. I think one thing that we're going to see, like I said, dark stores. So it's this concept where we're going to see a lot of storefronts turn into micro fulfillment centers for companies. Amazon is already doing a great job of doing that. And it's those stores mean that the bodega in your local area, or especially if you're in a city, means that these companies can now go there and get orders kind of sent out of there instead of just going to like that one chain or one hub they have in the city to begin with. Mm. It is a logistical push though. And so I think we are ways away from instant being everywhere. It's just, I think, the next step.
Yeah. Well, how much is Amazon changing the landscape in the grocery delivery business? You mentioned it. Of course, they purchased Whole Foods and took over delivery of Whole Foods groceries. How are they changing this game?
It's funny, you know, Amazon and Instacart used to have an exclusive agreement with each other. We used to see Instacart actually have shoppers that only delivered Whole Foods. Then 1 year after the acquisition, after Amazon acquired Whole Foods, we saw Amazon start to double down on its grocery delivery business. Right now, I think we're really seeing Amazon try to get into a spot where they want users to use their delivery app the same way people use Amazon Prime. And so we've seen, you know, in the beginning, Amazon really had all these different brands, Prime Now, Amazon Fresh, X, Y, and Z, that that all suggested potential new business verticals around grocery delivery. We're seeing Amazon actually start to consolidate its brands just into the normal Amazon e-commerce shopping experience, which I think is great for consumers who maybe were confused or overwhelmed by Amazon's first foray. But I definitely think we're seeing them continue to invest deeply into it because they definitely, you know, have consumers who are hungry for convenience as proven by their e-commerce.
And so what are the downsides, Natasha, to all this growth, all these new options in the grocery delivery business?
You know, I will say we're going to see a lot of multi-billion dollar businesses coming up because it's obvious that there's demand. We still haven't seen really, really impressive profit or even something close to it. Instacart did it for a little bit, but we don't know where they are today. And so I think that one thing that we're going to see that these companies struggle with is getting to positive unit economics, actually making money off of this sort of business. The second issue, and I think this comes down to consumers' choice of where they're going to put those extra dollars, it's going to definitely be around the gig economy. So companies who have employed shoppers have put them within the gig economy, similar to your Uber driver or to your Lyft driver. And the gig economy has, over the years, really struggled with not offering the same rights and classifications to these people who are, to be fair, making Instacart a lot of money. Right. And so we've seen protests happen, tipping scandals happen. And so I think it's coming down to a really dramatic point where gig economy workers are speaking up and continue to do so.
Because gig workers are suffering.
Exactly. I mean, we all see the protests, and I think that some companies that are starting to launch are really looking at it as, how do we either make sure we're empowering our gig workers and paying them a fair sort of rate, or how are we going to hire them full time and try and scale the company that way? I will add that Prop 22 in California was backed by Uber, Lyft, Instacart, and DoorDash. It passed, which means that gig workers will be classified as independent contractors, therefore not getting some of the benefits that people in favor of not having it pass really wanted them to see, such as healthcare. And so I think when Prop 22 passed and gig workers, after becoming essential workers during the pandemic, were not given the classification for something like healthcare, we saw a little bit of a dramatic reaction to it. Is that going to be the end of these stores? I don't think so, but I do think it's going to create some big questions around how they scale and once consumers have options, where consumers decide to put money.
So what trends do you see in the market down the road, Natasha, with regard to grocery delivery?
You know, the one that I'm probably most excited about is, how do we get fancy? How do we start to do things that consumers don't even know they want yet? One of the most exciting companies that I've seen is coming out of LA. It's called Zero, and they are a plastic-free grocery delivery startup. They work, you know, directly with suppliers, and they sell food in jars, boxes, and sustainable packaging. And they've already, you know, gotten some big names to partner with them. And so to me, while it's super exciting to see the bigger companies make it easier for consumers, I think there's so much room to grow to bring in sustainability, to bring in worker equality, and really to bring in a level of savviness that we've seen with online shopping to grocery delivery. HelloFresh, for example, is an at-home meal kit. They just announced that they're getting into the delivery game. Hmm. So what if, you know, we start to see companies that used to just be for a single meal purchase to make you cook, you know, something with their own instructions, get into broader businesses. And so we're going to see a lot of crossover, and I'm excited about that.
Natasha Mascarenhas is a senior reporter at TechCrunch. Natasha, thanks for this information. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jane.
Well, if you're still doing your shopping at the store, a new pilot program is testing out sustainable alternatives to single-use plastic bags. It's underway in Northern California at select CVS, Target, and Walmart stores. Some of the solutions include lending out reusable bags as part of the sharing economy, or encouraging customers to register their own reusable bags on an app to track their environmental impact. The pilot program is being run through the fall by the Consortium to Reinvent the Retail Bag, and the goal is to find ways to cut out single-use plastic bags, of which about 100 billion are used in the U.S. every year.